Imagine if we did something good. You know, we live our lives in a great way, and we please other people, and they're very happy with our actions and our behavior and our attitudes. In our daily lives, we do not cause any harm to other people. In fact, we're always nice, always kind, always honest, always truthful, never discriminating. They're going to fall in love with our personality, yes? That's what society wants. Society wants good people. And then imagine, you know, after 10 years, 20 years, 30 years of doing good things, when the society starts to love you and you tell them, you know what, I'm a Muslim and everything good that I've done in my life, I've learned it from Muhammad, I've learned it from the Quran. How, what is their perception of Muhammad and the Quran going to be now? It's going to be positive. They're going to say, if this man is so good, imagine how good his leader would be. Imagine how good the book would be that he's following. Imagine how good his Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his God will be.
Salawat.
So if you turn the scenario around, it can work in our favor, it can work in favor of Islam. Please recite another salah. Sorry, I drink a lot of water. So where were we? What was I saying? This is a test where whether you were paying attention or not. You're just looking at me and nodding. So you sign another last word. So let me give you a few examples of the Prophet's life that we can learn from and we can implement into our daily lives. I guess this is the best form of tabligh. If we want others to say good things about our Prophet, if we want others to say good things about our Imams, about our religion, about the Quran, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we need to present this Islamic institution, we need to present it in a positive way to them. Right? And this would be the best form of tabligh, the best form of preaching, the best form of da'wah, the best form of inviting others towards Islam through our actions. And this is what the Prophet did for 40 years of his life. He did not announce that he was a Muslim. He did not announce that he was the messenger of God. He did not announce Islam at all for the first 40 years. He built the image through his actions. And then after 40 years, when people fell in love with his personality, when they loved everything about him, then he said, you know what? Everything that I've been doing is from Islam. My kind actions, my soft-heartedness, my good words, it is all from Islam. My love for my fellow brothers and sisters, it is all thanks to Islam. So let me give you a few examples. I want to talk about a bit about Imam Hassan alayhi salam as well before we go to the Messiah. Once the Prophet of Islam was traveling with his companions, he was in a trip. They came and they stopped somewhere. And it was time for the meal, it was time to eat, or lunch, or dinner. Now, I'm giving you the summary of the story, the summary of the events. It is not word by word, I'm using my own words. It was time to eat. So each of the companions of the Prophet said, okay, for example, I'm going to build the tent, or I'm going to set up the tent, I'm going to go hunting, I'm going to find, this, I'm going to find that. You know, maybe in our societies today, you know, when you go on a picnic, what do we do? Okay, you make the salad, you bring the drinks. Yeah? So each of the companions were delegating tasks. And the Prophet's sitting there. The Prophet's there with them. What does the Prophet say? The Prophet says, okay, I will go find the wood to make the fire. There's a big message in here. I just want your attention for a few minutes. The Prophet says, I will go find the wood to make the fire so that we can cook our food. And they look at him and they say, Ya Rasulullah, you are the messenger of God. You are the beloved of God. You have the highest status in our eyes. How can we let you go into the woods to find wood for the fire? What did the Prophet reply? The Prophet says, no, each individual should do his own work. We should contribute so that as a team we can come up with something great. Each person should do their own task, should make their own contributions. It's a big message in here for us. for, I don't know about the center, but you know, wherever you go, you've got centers, you've got committees. We need to work together. The Prophet is here is showing teamwork. The first message here is teamwork. If I am, for example, I'm not a scholar, but I'm saying, for example, if there is a scholar, he says, no, you know, I've studied for 10 years, 15 years, I'm an alim, I do not need to do any work. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to get other people to do work for me. Or I am the principal of the school, I'm not going to do any work. Or I am the man of the family, I'm not going to do any work. You know, maybe the husbands here, the people who are married, are not going to like me after today, because they like to make their wives or their children do all the work for them. The Prophet is giving us a very big message. This, our mentality is heading towards chaos. Society will head towards chaos. The Prophet is giving us a big message. We need to work together as a team. No matter how big or how small you are, each person needs to make their contributions so that our team as a family, our team as a society, our team as a community, our team as Muslims, we can come up with something great. We can achieve kamal, we can achieve excellence. No matter which aspect of the Prophet's life you look at, you find the kamal, you find excellence. Whether you look at his worldly life, the worldly aspects of his life, him going to work, him earning the bread and butter for, you know, for his family, or whether you look at the spiritual aspect, you find kamal, you find excellence at its peak. While the Prophet was in Mecca, he would pray and he would pray so much that his feet would get swollen. And what would he pray for? He would pray for the forgiveness of the sins of the Ummah. For us, he would pray for our shafa'at. He would go through so much trouble for us. So now we need to thank Allah for sending such a great Prophet to us. And then we need to consider, we need to look within ourselves, assess, self-assessment. You know, we need to do our own assessment and we need to see, what are we doing for the Prophet? What are we doing for his image that today is being attacked by the enemies of Islam? Through abusive cartoons, through abusive films, through abusive blogs, abusive statements, disrespecting him, hurting his dignity, pointing fingers at him. What are we doing for him? Now, I'll quickly move on to the life of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. So please bear with me for a few more minutes. Any Prophet of Allah that came to this earth did so much for his ummah, did so much for his nation, but in return did not ask for anything. You will never find in any of the books that any of the Prophets asked for anything in return. And the same as our Prophet. Except one thing. Surah Shura, ayah number 23. What does the Prophet ask for? Mawaddat fil qurba. This is the only thing he asks for. Love towards my Ahlul Bayt. And this was the only and the last thing he asked for before he passed away on the 28th of Safar in the year 11 after Hijrah, in the 11th year of the Islamic calendar. I'm not going to the Masaiq now, but I have to convey the events that occurred, so please bear with me. The Prophet passed away on the 28th of Safar in the 11th year after Hijrah. His body was lying there, and what were the Muslims worried about? They were worried about leadership. Who's going to be the leader after the Prophet? Who's going to be the Khalifa after the Prophet? They were more interested in power, in authority, than in doing the ghusl and the kafan of the Prophet. It was Imam Ali who organized the ghusl of the Prophet. It was Imam Ali who organized his funeral, and it was Imam Ali who organized his burial. In the year 11 after Hijrah. Approximately 39 years after, in the year 40 after Hijrah, on the 21st of Ramadan, Imam Ali was killed, he was martyred, he was shaheed. And the imamate passed on to his eldest son, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, the second imam of the Muslims. The second imam's reign, his khilafat, his imamate lasted for about 9.5 years, from the 21st of Ramadan in the year 40 after Hijrah to the 28th of Safar in the year 50 after Hijrah. So about 9.5 years. These 9.5 years were very tough for the Imam. Probably one of the toughest periods of Khilafat, of Imam. The Khalifa of Sham, the governor of Sham, was Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, one of the biggest enemies of Islam. He made life very difficult for the second Imam. Despite this, throughout his entire life, the second Imam showed excellence, he showed Kamal at its peak. He showed us practically how to do fattabi'uni, how to do the ittiba of the Prophet, how to follow in his footsteps. Very quickly, let me give you, depending on the time, we have one or two examples of Imam Hassan's life that we can gain something from, that shows his fazila as well, shows his grandeur, his virtues that we can learn from. The Imam was in Medina, and a group of people came to Medina from Sham, and they saw the Imam in his bath, in his garden, or in his what can we say in English? In his garden, in his park, he was working there. So that they're observing the Imam. They're observing Imam Hassan alayhi salam. He works all day. It comes time for prayer. He observes the salah, the prayer, and then it comes time for the meal, for lunch. Again, I'm giving you a summary. It's my own words that I'm explaining this in. Comes time for lunch. He prepares the meal and he sits down to eat. And the birds come and the animals come towards Imam Hassan. So he feeds them. He gives them food. As he's eating, he feeds them as well. This group of people from Sham, they thought that the birds and the animals were annoying the Imam. They thought these birds and animals were being a nuisance to the Imam. So they come up to the Imam and they say, "Oh Imam, do you want us to get rid of these birds and these animals because they are annoying you?" And what did the Imam say? Listen to this, it's so beautiful. The Imam says, "No, it's okay, I'm happy, leave them here. I feel ashamed that I am eating and this creation of Allah is hungry." Big message here. Big message here. I don't have time to explain in detail, but I'll give you some food for thought and then you can think about this at home when you go home tonight. The Imam says, "I feel ashamed that I am eating while these creations of Allah, these birds and these animals are hungry." We need to look around us. The Imam is worried about the hunger of the animals. Today, our own brothers and sisters, Muslims, the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, are starving, they are dying of hunger. Have we created a system where we are supporting them, where we are ensuring that they do not go to sleep hungry at night? That's all I want to say here. You guys can take this home and implement it in your lives as you wish. Please find out, salawat. Another quick story of the Imam, which shows his great personality. I mean, you should go home and just search on Google some of the sayings of the Imam, and you will be amazed. And you know, every time I read the sayings of Imam Hassan, that famous phrase comes to my mind: "Al kalamul Imam, al Imamul kalam." Whatever the Imam says is the best of words. It's the best phrase. It's the best statement. Another person comes to Medina, also from Sham. Remember in Sham, who was the governor? Muawiyah ibn Abu Sufyan, one of the biggest enemies of Islam. This person comes from Sham, he comes to Medina, and he sees the Imam, and he goes to Imam Hassan, and he starts abusing him, and he starts cursing him, and he starts saying bad things to his face. Now I want you for a minute to imagine that that man from Sham came to you. He came to me, you and I. And he started abusing us and started cursing us. What would be our reaction? How would we respond? We would retaliate. If he said 10 bad things to our face, we would say 20 bad things to his face. Yeah? We would not be quiet. We would want the upper hand, the last word. Now stop that thought for a second and think, what would the Prophet do? Imam Hassan is showing, remember, فَاتَّبِعُونِي do the ittiba of the Rasul. Follow the Rasul's, follow the Prophet's sunnah. Imam Hassan is showing what the Prophet would have done. Imam Hassan sits there quietly.